You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk, episode 319. Here's our regular Monday podcast for you. Obviously, there's a lot of bad news that happened over the weekend.
Do we have anything to talk about this week,
but
Ruben?
We want to start out with some news that'll make you feel good. So, Randall, you mentioned this to me before we started the podcast. Let the listeners know something to lift their spirits.
We're not trying to make anybody look bad, but this is some good news for Notre Dame fans. In a scrimmage last week, Blake Barnett, former Notre Dame commit, obviously decided to go to Alabama over Notre Dame. Anyways, he supposedly had 5 turnovers in scrimmage and doesn't look very good, so he's not going to be winning the starting job this year. And that's obviously the class that Notre Dame ended up getting, Brandon Wimbush. So it looks like Notre Dame is definitely came out on the right side of that deal, at this point at least.
All right, so we do need to talk about a little bit what happened over the weekend. Basically, we'll just talk about which position was impacted the most, possible position changes, and then we didn't do a podcast since Brian Kelly's last press conference where the coaches also did interviews, and so we'll go over the different position groups after that and shed some light on some of those different position groups. So as far as the 5 that were suspended, 6 if you include Devin Butler, which position do you think is worse off?
First, Ruben, what were you doing when you found this out? Like, do you know where you were at?
It's kind of like, I shouldn't say that. I was going to compare it to some other horrible news I heard, but that would be a poor comparison because this isn't that horrible of news in relation to life in general. But I was in Chicago with some friends, weekend getaway, and woke up to some chirping on my phone, and I saw that 5 Notre Dame players had been arrested, and then I crossed my fingers and hoped that it was some unknown names on the team, and then I saw it's Max Redfield, Tavon Coney, Dexter Williams, you know, guys that
are Kevin Stefferson.
And Kevin Stefferson, guys that are going to make a huge impact or would have made a big impact this year, and possibly I expect most of those guys still to make a contribution, but definitely a pretty major hiccup.
Well, I got a notification that said breaking news, you know, or this is bad news for Notre Dame. And I was like, oh no, who got hurt? Somebody broke a leg. And I was trying to think who could be what could be the worst injury on the team, because that's kind of what I expected. And then I saw that there was 5 players that were involved in an incident. And that just, it made me mad.
I was very, very mad.
Just because it's one thing if you get injured, something like that, it's hard to see that happen, but you have an excuse. But to see guys act out like this, do something this stupid.
And this is not at all.
Is uncalled for.
Yeah. I'm very libertarian when it comes to drug laws, gun laws. However, hey, if it's breaking the law and there's consequences, you know those consequences, and then it puts your team, you're putting yourself above your team.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you've all heard, basically they were just driving and got stopped. This is what's stupid. They got stopped because they were speeding and the one taillight was out. Anyways, when they were stopped, it was discovered that they had marijuana in the car and there was a loaded gun. So first of all, if you have any of that stuff in your car, do not drive over the speed limit, and
make sure you have a fixed taillight.
And you should know that because your blinkers usually blink faster. You can tell.
Is that what that means?
Yes, that means one of your lights is out.
Oh, Randall, see, I'm learning. Hope maybe the listeners are learning something new too.
And I guess the other disturbing thing is, how did 5 Notre Dame football players fit into Ford Focus? But that's maybe a question for another day. But don't be doing something like that when you know you're doing something illegal.
And especially this close to the season.
Well,
kickoff is 2 weeks away.
They were probably out celebrating. Fall camp was over with. They got the weekend off. They were going to have off until Tuesday to get moved into their dorms, settled in. think a lot of the freshmen's parents were actually on campus. They had some banquet, some supper thing Friday night. And I don't know what these guys decided to do. But anyways, this is how it ended up. And who knows how all the details went down. But basically, you know, the guys with the gun, three of them were charged for the gun, which basically those three were in reach of the gun. They were basically in the back seat probably and could reach the gun. All they would, the other thing is just get a license. I have a license and I own one handgun and I don't carry it. Yeah. It's not that hard. I'm not going to make any excuses for them.
It was very stupid. It's very stupid.
Yeah.
All right, so which position-wise? You got the only starter on the team would have been Max, but then you've got Stepherson, who is probably going to play an important role.
Coney.
You've got Coney, who I think was going to be a huge part of on that weak side spot, although Martini sounds like he was on top in that position at the weak linebacker. Dexter Williams, even if he was a third stringer, Brian Kelly really talked a lot about him and made it sound like he'd be making a huge contribution this season. And so I guess, assuming that all five of these guys are gone for the rest of the season, let's just talk about it in that way, which I know they're not going to be. It's probably going to be just one or two game suspension, but to equate Max Redfield, who's gone for good, and Devin Butler, who's almost definitely gone for good.
Well, Devin Butler, it depends on what they call. Originally, they were going to say it's a felony, but it could be changed to misdemeanor. I think that is why he is just indefinitely suspended for now, because they don't know. Because Tommy Reese was the same situation. His was originally a felony, got changed. If it's a felony, then the school will kick them out. Yes. So I think that's why they're waiting on that. He was involved in the brawl outside the bar. Shoved a woman. There were some women talking. He went and shoved the woman. The cops tried to stop him, and he tried to punch him. He supposedly ripped the belt off the one cop, and which caused them to tase him.
Ripped the belt off the cop?
Yeah.
Did he unbuckle it, or was it just pure strength?
I don't know.
Maybe it was just Velcroed together.
I don't know, but this is a guy that is recovering from a broken leg, so he must have been pretty upset if they couldn't stop him.
Is that fair to do, Randall, to compare it as if all six of these guys are gone for the rest of the season?
Because
we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with...
Right. I just don't think that the other guys will. I think they'll be suspended a couple games, maybe.
Well, that's what I think, too.
Because if you look at past, you know, Tommy Reese, well, but Calabrese...
Then it's no-brainer. Okay, so fine. Floyd. Okay. Let's do that. Let's do... If Max Redfield is the only guy we know for sure is gone for the rest of the season... He's the biggest loss, right? There's no question about it because he's gone for the rest of the season. So, apart from Max Redfield, the other five guys, what is the biggest loss?
I'd have to choose. It's a hard choice between Coney and Dexter Williams, in my opinion.
See, I agree with those two, but then Kevin Stepherson was, I mean, the wide receiver group's really weak.
I'll throw this in there now because you're talking about the wide receivers. The one positive thing out of this is that Chris Fink got a scholarship now. He was a walk-on wide receiver, so maybe he got the scholarship Max Redfield left behind. So they have another scholarship wide receiver now. I don't agree with you as far as a wide receiver just because I think there's so many wide receivers. And I've already said I don't think Kevin Stepherson, I believe he will play, but I don't think he'll be a big part of the offense this year.
We did kind of disagree how big of a role Stepherson would have. Okay, so you're down to Coney and Williams.
I'm going to say Coney because you got Williams is obviously one of the three best. You're going to have injuries at running back. Josh Adams is already kind of beat up.
I thought you said Coney.
Yeah, I'm saying the reason I'm going with Coney over Dexter is because you got Tony Jones as another running back. So there's not as many linebackers. You need Coney.
And I'm going with Williams because you're right. You do have a lot of other guys there, but he's the second best running back on the team.
Behind Terry and Folston. Oh, my. Wow. It gets worse every week.
Yeah, I agree. Those two are probably the biggest losses because at wide receiver, Kevin Stevenson had good hands, but he also wasn't a proven commodity. You've got CJ Sanders, which sounds like he's making good headway. EQ, Holmes, and you've got the other two freshmen that possibly
doing good.
Could pick up some slack there too. And Fink. I do think Fink is going to play a decent amount this season. I think he's going to back up CJ Sanders. So maybe he'll get, you know, one out of every 5 or 6 snaps that CJ Sanders gets.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
All right. Are we finished talking about the weekend? Ready to move over now? Well, I guess we're going to talk about each position. So we'll talk about the safety position, how that might end up looking in the absence of Max Redfield.
The only thing I'll throw in there yet is that some of the former Notre Dame players were saying some stuff on Twitter, and some were good, some were bad. Torian Smith, I did not agree with him at all. He said, "Don't beat up on the kids about that gun. When I was in school, I was strapped to. Your head has to be on a swivel in South Bend."
But he also had a license to carry.
I agree, but it's not that bad in South Bend.
Well, Randall.
Oh, there might be areas, but you can stay away from there. I've lived a half hour from South Bend my entire life, and I've never had to carry a gun.
I listened to the podcast that Torian's on, the Huddlecast podcast, I believe is what it's called, and he said that there were Notre Dame students that did get robbed, and he kind of made it sound like it happened frequently. I don't know how often it happened, but Notre Dame students would get robbed. They would get picked up, thrown in the back of a trunk of a car, driven around to different ATMs, and the robbers would use their debit or credit cards to withdraw money from the ATMs, and then it'd be hours and hours later, someone would find the vehicle and find out that, oh, this kid's in the back of this vehicle.
So you're telling me it's that easy to throw a...
No, I did. Very... I said a Notre Dame student is what I said. I didn't say a football player.
Okay. And then one other, Jamora Slaughter also sent out a tweet, which I agree with him. He said, "You can't be speeding and have weed and a pistol in the car." So, I agree with that. But just some players, it's just some former players adding their opinion to the whole ordeal.
Yeah.
Are you surprised how quickly Brian Kelly made a decision as far as Max Redfield and Butler?
Not really.
It is interesting to me that just, you know, a couple days before, a lot of people were saying that Brian Kelly, you know, should make a decision about quarterback. That's what he's paid to do. I saw comments like that, you know, that's, he's making millions because he's supposed to make the decision, you know, pick one quarterback, and he can't do it. And then a couple days later, this happens, and it didn't take long for him to hand down the punishment. And he really told them in his statement. I mean, he didn't sugarcoat it too much. So, anyways, we could go on for days about this.
It is kind of interesting as far as the whole gun thing. Pretty much the only reason people have this big issue with it is mostly because that the gun laws are pretty strict. Like 300 years ago or 200 years ago, probably everyone carried a handgun with them and it wasn't a big deal. I'm just saying, I think we overemphasize
the gun
part of it.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree with you. It's just changed in the last couple of years. I was driving an old truck that my dad has, and it has the gun rack in the back. There's no gun in it. And I was just saying, you know what? Right now, I don't think I would drive down the street with a gun. There's too many people that would make a big deal about a gun hanging in the back. 5 years ago, you would never thought twice about doing it.
All right. Let's move on. Let's talk the different position groups. Let's start with offense. Let's start with quarterback. So Brian Kelly said both guys are going to play against Texas. And he didn't make a commitment beyond Texas. And so best case scenario for me is that Kaiser, one of the two is a starter. And the guy that's a starter gets the majority of the snaps. And they use the other guy as sort of a change of pace option. So I would like to see it. Kaiser's the starter. He knows the offense better. He runs the offense better, would be a better way to put it. And then you bring Kaiser in for two series, or a series in the first half, a series in the second half, and it's a completely different style. It's much more based off running, much more to the strengths of Zaire. That's what I'd like to see. I'd be happy with that if that's what would happen.
Well, Brian Kelly said it would be seamless switching between the two quarterbacks during the game, and basically just some of the play calling would change according to who was in the game. But I can't... It can't be that seamless. Here's... I'll start with the negative.
You know what's funny? We've all been worried about, man, this could really tear the team apart. I mean, depending which quarterback Brian Kelly goes with could really cause, issues on the team. But after this happened, I do think that there is going to be the pendulum will swing the other way. I do believe that this could help unify the team as a team, bring them together. I hope it does. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I hope so too. But the negative part of this is that now, instead of just having one quarterback that's glad to be the starter and one that's going to be upset, obviously, there's two upset quarterbacks.
Yeah, that is interesting. They weren't too happy when they found out that they would be sharing time.
Well, here's the thing. Neither one is going to want to share that spot. So if you were worried about one guy transferring, now you had to worry about two guys. If this keeps on during the year, who knows? Brian Kelly just said the Texas game. So I'll try to look at it as just a Texas game. The problem with that is Brian Kelly looking at the Texas game as another practice? Is he kind of overlooking the Texas game? That's just a question. I don't really have an answer, but it popped into my mind when I heard that.
That is a good thought. In big games, Kelly has done a pretty good job of having the team prepared. The worst game where Notre Dame just looked unprepared and unmotivated was USC in 2013. Actually, I think it was 2011.
Okay.
It was a home game. But it was when Tommy Rees, I believe, got hurt a little bit. Then Dane Chris came back in fumbled a snap.
Yeah.
And the team just looked awful. Yeah. I happened to be at that game, and it was just an awful game. And the last few years, the teams have looked like they're prepared. And that's a big part of it. If the team is giving 100%, if they're focused, then to me that's a big part of the coach preparing them and getting them ready for the game. I'm not really worried about that. I think he's done a really good job of having the team ready to go.
I agree with you there. I mean, obviously they did against LSU. You know, I had two quarterbacks. But you also have a quarterback that's going to be looking over his shoulder, worried about making a mistake. You cannot have... Quarterbacks are going to make mistakes. Even the good quarterbacks have bad games every once in a while. Peyton Manning had games where he threw four interceptions.
But he never lost his confidence.
Because he didn't have another quarterback that he worried was going to come off the bench.
Look at Kavari Russell, had all the confidence in the world, and he was...
He's not the quarterback.
I know, but it's still a mentality. I think it doesn't matter if you have a guy that's just behind you. Because the truth is, Randall, even if it's only Malik or if it's only the Zaire and the other guy's gone, there's still a guy right behind you if you screw up often enough.
Yeah, but it won't be... It's different. When you know that two quarterbacks are going to play, it could be the next series.
I believe competition brings out the best in people.
But see, Kaiser, that's not true, because they're saying Kaiser playing a little tentative is because of this. He's not...
He was playing tentative last year, too, when the backup was a true freshman.
Well, it's not going to change if they do this.
I disagree.
And I think Kaiser's a better quarterback.
I think that's something Kaiser needs to overcome. He needs to be more confident.
Oh, I agree.
I don't think it's because, Malik is right behind him.
Okay, so that's one point. Another point is the wide receivers. There is no experience at wide receiver. So and really, I don't care how seamless the two quarterbacks are. Instead of trying to get used to one, having a connection with one quarterback and the receivers, they're going to have to be dealing with two quarterbacks.
Okay, see, the way I look at it, that's more the receiver. If the receiver runs, the same route every time as far as the amount of distance, the amount of steps, the amount of time it takes him to get to a certain point in his route, it's not going to matter who the quarterback is. The quarterback,
so why do quarterbacks...
the quarterback will need to get used to the receiver, and they'll have fewer reps to do that.
So why do quarterbacks and wide receivers get together in the off season or the bye week to practice throwing, to get in sync with each other?
They need to know, the quarterbacks need to know exactly how the receiver runs the route, and the more consistent the wide receiver is, the easier it is for the quarterback.
The best wide receiver and quarterback duos are the ones that know what the other person is going to do. They can look at each other and know that if this happens, they know what the court, they both know what's going to happen. It's much harder to do that when you have, when you're switching quarterbacks in and out.
You
have
saying
young receivers that have no experience.
You're talking about like package plays where depending how the defense looks, the receiver runs a different route.
Yeah, which maybe they'll stay away from some of that stuff. But it just, it'd be one thing if you had Michael Floyd and Golden Tate out there, or Will Fuller. You don't. You have no experience wide receiver. James Onuwalu is one of the leading receivers on this team.
I'm not a fan of the two quarterback system.
I know. I'm just throwing these
Although
out
there. Although I have gone back and forth on who I hope is the starter.
Now, some good points. Brian Kelly said that in practice, like these quarterbacks, it doesn't matter if they're with the first team or the second team, they're both making plays. He said you'd have Zaire come in with the first team, they go down the field and score a touchdown. You'd have Kaiser come in with the second team, go down the field and score a touchdown. He said it didn't matter if the receivers were running the wrong routes, if it, you know, they made mistakes, things were happening, they still made the play. So they are able to make plays. They're obviously adjusting to the wide receivers, you know, young group that's not always going to do what they're supposed to. And he said in 257 reps in practice, the two quarterbacks had thrown two interceptions, a combined two interceptions.
I'm guessing they weren't both by the same guy.
No, I think they each threw one.
Okay.
So some people probably say the defense is that bad.
So what you're saying is that's the best case scenario where we have two quarterbacks?
They're saying they can both, obviously they can both make plays. Brian Kelly said that out of the five best playmakers on his team, the quarterbacks are two of them. And so he's got to have them out there making plays.
I don't agree with that statement. Because there's no... Okay, well, is it okay? Well,
so then play both at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Which
that's
he was
the truth,
that,
play both of them at the same time.
He was asked that. And then he said, the reporter asked, well, how are you going to do that? It, like Brian Kelly said, he'd thought about playing too. And the guy was like, well, how are you going to do that? And Brian Kelly just said, I can't tell you because I'd have to do something I wouldn't want to if I did.
I mean, if five running backs were your five best players on offense, you wouldn't play all five of them.
I agree.
So it's not, and that wouldn't even be the truth. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of me that thinks that Brian Kelly should maybe man up and just name a starter. Somebody's going to be irritated.
I think it's so close.
I guess we can see.
I think it's so close. He doesn't know. And let's be real here. Texas is not going. I know the spread's only like, it was at 2.5 points when I looked at it a week or two ago. It might be closer to 4 points now. But this is not going to be that close of a game. Texas is not. They did put up points against some decent teams last year, later in the season. But Notre Dame has much more talent. They're a better team. I don't think this is going to be a very close game.
But it might have changed a little bit after this weekend. You don't have... Remember last year, the first game of the year, you had your number one running back go down. Now you're playing a true freshman at free safety, and you got a linebacker playing strong safety.
Yeah.
So it won't be hard. If their quarterback can throw, I don't even want to go there. It wouldn't be hard to imagine a couple long touchdowns. It might have changed a little bit after
Texas this weekend. Texas will score, no question about it.
But...
All right, are we finished with the quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think so.
And I am back on the Kaiser should be quarterback wagon.
That's good.
I'm not sure. Does that bump you off the wagon onto the Zaire wagon?
Oh, of course. I'm on to BVG or Montgomery Van Gorder now.
All right, let's just touch on the offensive line. Well, is there anything new besides McGovern and
Hodge?
Those two at right guard.
McGovern was taking a lot of snaps. I know he did overheat a little bit the one day. He's putting in a lot of work, but they're both still competing for that. Other than that, everybody just raves about the left side of the line. And, that's obviously set. You know, there was Brian Kelly was asked, you know, the difference between McClinchy and Stanley. His comment was that Stanley was a natural tackle, just the way he played. And McClinchy has had to work for that a little more, but he is getting there. And will be, you know, one of the top tackles. And so it's basically down to that right guard spot and Hodge and McGovern.
Okay. All right. At running back, so we don't know how long Dexter Williams is going to be out. We've still got your starter, Josh Adams, your backup, Tarion Folston.
Oh, wow.
And then...
Nope, you have not convinced me yet.
Tony Jones, especially now with Dexter going down. I mean, I know that he's a different kind of back, but he will just be playing more. In fact, I think we'll see him in the opener against Texas, assuming Dexter's not playing. And I think we would have seen him anyway at some point, but I think we'll see him early.
Well, Brian Kelly did mention again that he didn't want to play him this year, but you know he might end up. It'd be interesting to see if the suspensions, you know, like for Dexter, how long that will be or when they will announce that, because let's say it's just one or two games. Do they want to risk Tony Jones redshirt? You know, obviously Brian Kelly wants him to redshirt, but
if it's one game, yes, he will definitely play.
Even if it's just one game suspension,
yeah,
they would let him play. I'm not so convinced.
Oh, you were the one saying that there's no way he'll redshirt anyway.
Well, I didn't think so, but Brian Kelly keeps mentioning...
But remember, Brian Kelly wants to redshirt everyone.
I'm just saying, he's saying that now. Will he change that for one game?
Yes, because even though he says they'd like to, he's pretty much saying that we'd like to, but we can't.
Yeah, I agree. I think he will play. It'll just be interesting to see when Brian Kelly changes his mind as far as a redshirt.
I think we'll see him...
In the first game.
In the first game, yeah.
Well, I'd say it's more likely with the Dexter Williams ordeal. He mentioned that Folston is a guy that can run between the tackles. He'll get 6 yards before you know it, he'll have 6 yards. Josh Adams, that outside guy, attack the edge. And he said Dexter can do both, which means that Dexter is ahead of Josh Adams.
And Tarion Folston?
But I'm still convinced that Folston will be that number one guy.
We will probably look at this every week.
I agree with you.
Okay, tight ends. Durham Smythe, Nick Wisher. And then obviously you got your two lumberjacks in Luatua. And yes.
Brian Kelly was asked, you know, how big a loss it is for, you know, Alize Jones. Obviously, he still says that, oh, he scored no touchdowns last year. But he said he is the biggest cheerleader on the sideline. And he said the one issue with that, though, is that he probably won't travel with the team on the away game. So, you know, it's good to have him on the sidelines, but they won't always have him on the sideline when they're away. And, you know, he seems to be determined, you know, to improve his grades, get back onto the team, and, you know, keep getting better. But we'll have to wait and see how that goes during the season. But Smythe and Wisher, I think, will pick up, you know, anything that they're missing from him, Jones. I'm not too worried about it.
Well, I just think a huge weapon has been taken away with the loss of Alize, but I think they'll be solid. I think we're in better shape than we were with, who was the tight end?
Koyak?
Than with Koyak, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of news coming out of camp about Nick Wisher. I think he's in much better shape and playing better than he has in the last year. I think he's ready to take the next step and contribute more than he has.
Let's talk about the wide receivers. So Severson out, not sure for how long. I mean, assuming he'll be suspended for a game or two, assuming there, nothing for sure yet. So you've got Torrey Hunter, CJ Sanders, EQ, probably as your three starters. But now, like you mentioned, walk-on
Chris Fink
got the scholarship. And I do think, like I said, I think he'll be playing this year.
Just because he got the scholarship doesn't mean he'll play. Remember that happened to Josh Anderson last year.
Yeah, didn't he?
And we saw him in the Texas game.
In the first game, they didn't play the rest of the year. Yeah, that's going to be different with Fink because they're weak at wide receiver. And the reason they're weak is because guys aren't doing a good job of catching the ball, which that could change throughout the season, but it's definitely the case right now. And Brian Kelly has said that when the ball is thrown to him, he catches the ball and makes a play. So he will be on the field. He's another guy I think will play against Texas.
Yeah, I could see that happening just because they're figuring out the wide receiver positions and give him a chance to compete in a live game.
I think we'll see less of him as the season goes on, as hopefully we get Steverson back, hopefully some of these other athletes that are more physically gifted get more comfortable, get more confident. So I kind of expect to see less of him as the season goes on. But to start off with, I expect him to be a pretty...
Well, some of the guys Brian Kelly mentioned were Miles Boykin, which he's been making plays in practice. And then he says Chase Claypool will be playing this year. He's been doing good things.
Yeah.
And so he's one guy that will likely contribute this year that they can't keep off the field.
Do you think, let's say Steverson's out for two games, he was backing up Torrey Hunter at the X position, Will Fuller's old position. Do you think they move someone over there to give him a breather? Or who would move over in case Torrey would go down with an injury or to give him a breather?
At some point, I think Corey Holmes will get a chance.
Corey Holmes possibly could. EQ did play over or did practice over there a little bit as well. But if he's a starter at the W, I don't think they would move him over there.
Well, you could bring in Boykins as well.
That is true. But then EQ wouldn't be getting his break, his rest.
Well, you have Chase Claypool.
Well, I think Corey Holmes is probably the most obvious answer.
He hasn't been doing as good, but I think he might get a chance just to see what he can do. But I expect Torrey Hunter to be out there quite a bit.
Oh, I do too.
So,
yeah.
If everything goes as planned, he shouldn't need a backup.
All right. Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the defensive positions. Guys, before we jump into the defensive positions, I do want to mention the winner for last week's giveaway for FannyEssentials.net. It was Wally at Jeremy, or sorry, it was Jeremy Wally, at Jeremy Wally, and he'll win 1 month free gift basket from Fanny Essentials. And you guys can check it out there as well. We've got a promo code for you so you can get 15% discount. Just go to FannyEssentials.net, click on your team, click on your gender, click on your size, and then they'll ship you once a month a fan basket for dedicated sports fans. So they've got pro teams, NBA, NFL, baseball. They don't have a whole lot of colleges yet. I'm hoping that's something they'll add here soon. But they give things like T-shirts, sunglasses, lanyards, just kind of random sports gear picked out by fans of that team. So check it out, FannyEssentials.net. Use promo code IrishSportsTalk for a 15% discount. And hope you guys check it out. And if you guys want to be entered to win for this week's Fan Essentials giveaway, retweet this episode on Twitter. It'll be pinned to the top of our Twitter page, and it'll be episode number 319. So just retweet it, and we'll announce the winner later this week on Thursday. So if you're listening later in the week, you can still have a chance to do that. Retweet episode 319 on Twitter. Okay, Randall, so let's move over, talk about defense. Let's start with the back end of the defense. Start with the safeties. So Max Redfield, is no more.
Who's Max Redfield?
Exactly. So we've still got Drew Tranquil, starter at strong safety. Avery Sebastian backing him up. Devin Studstill, who hasn't been practicing at full strength so far this fall, backing up Redfield at free safety. So I think it just makes sense that Devin moves up to the starter, Devin Studstill, and then his backup,
Jalen Elliott,
which is also a true freshman. I did hear some talk about maybe having Drew Tranquil move over to free safety.
No,
and I just don't see how that's a possibility with his shortcomings and pass coverage. So to me, that's best case scenario. Kind of the guys that were below that kind of move up the ladder. You've still got a handful of guys there. You've still got depth, even though it's inexperienced or maybe not athletically exactly what you want to have. But that seems like a better option than moving someone over from cornerback who hasn't been practicing at safety.
Yeah, I agree. I do think Devin Studstill should be the starter. It's just that, you know, you heard all this stuff about how hard it is to learn the safety position. And I guess we'll find out if Max Redfield just couldn't pick it up, and because his comment was that Mandarin Chinese was easier to learn than this defense. And now we're going to have a true freshman playing that position. So that, you also heard that about the middle linebacker last year. So it kind of seems that whichever position is struggling is supposedly the hardest to learn on the defense. But I guess we'll find out this year. I think Devin Studstill is a smart player, and this spring definitely seemed to know what he was doing and even pushed Max Redfield. You know, we discussed that maybe they used that to try to motivate Redfield, but I think he'll do okay. He'll have those mistakes, but
I wonder how much the defense will change. Because that happened last year when Crawford went down. You know, they did still play some nickel, but they were switching things up throughout the season. They had Kavari at nickel, and they had Farley, and they kind of switched things around, and they just weren't very happy with it. So I just wonder how this is going to change how they play defense.
Well, in a lot of people's minds, Devin Studstill is probably going to play anyways, but just because of what we saw from Max Redfield last year. Just the inconsistent, one amazing game, and the next game he was terrible. I do think it's a much bigger loss Redfield is this year, just because this was his contract year.
I expected big things.
And his issue was just it wasn't that he didn't have the talent or the ability to play, it was just putting his mind to it and playing.
Yeah.
And so I think this year, you know, he knew that he needed to play if he wanted to play in the NFL. And that's why I expected a lot out of him this year. And I think that's why Brian Kelly was actually raving about him, you know, did say that he's at that elite level, because he could be. It was just up to Max to be at that level.
Do you think we'll see Max on Last Chance U?
Good question. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what he does. Because I think he wants to play football. I think he's a proud player. He was that five-star guy and expected things to be handed to him. And I think he really does want to play football. It's just he's got to work harder than he wanted to.
Let's talk about the cornerbacks. So Ashton White, one of the guys that will probably be suspended for a game or two. But he wasn't one of the guys starting. You know, he was probably at best in the two deep, and probably more likely three down the line at some point. So I don't think that his loss is really felt there at the cornerback position, but he would have made a contribution on special teams. So that, depending how long he's gone, you know, that could make a difference there. But at cornerback, things seem like they're pretty much settled in. Coleman and then Sean Crawford on the other side, and then when it's in nickel, when they're playing nickel, Sean Crawford goes to nickel, and then Nick Coleman comes on as the other corner. Anything updated there, Randall, or changes?
Not really. I think that's they basically have that figured out, and I don't think we'll see a change.
depending, the only position I think that could change is Nick Coleman. If he struggles a little bit, and some of the freshmen, Devontae Vaughn, if Nick Coleman struggles, maybe we'd see some of those freshmen, but I don't think they'll be playing a ton, at least not unless it's a blowout game.
Yeah.
Then at linebacker, so we lose Tavon Coney, but Greer Martini was kind of announced as a starter anyway, and then actually Bilal was the third guy down the list. So Bilal will get some more work to get him prepared as a backup for Texas. And then other than that, Niles Morgan set in stone, and James Onuwalu on the strong side.
Yeah, I think Greer was practicing at the Mike position as well. I think he would be a backup there. I think if Morgan would need a backup, I could see them put Greer at the Mike and bring in Coney, or obviously Bilal to start with at the Will position. Haven't really seen the other guys step up yet. Barajas hasn't really seemed to catch on to the Mike position at this point. So it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of depth that's ready to go at the linebacker position.
All right, and then defensive line. Continue to hear more praise from Jerry Tillery. Sounds like he's continued to make a move forward, which is good to hear. He was a big question mark.
Yeah, and they are starting to figure out that rotation on the interior line. Brian Kelly said that two of the guys, and we talked about it before, but Makwa and Tiasum are two of the guys that are in that, you know, working themselves into that rotation. I would say Makwa. Now I can't think. Brian Kelly said it was the first time I heard him say it like that, so maybe I'm saying it wrong, but I haven't heard it pronounced like that before. Now I don't remember how it was exactly, but he also said Tiasum a little bit different. Anyways, Jonathan Bonner's another guy that you're hearing a little bit more about. He can play three technique and defensive end. So he's kind of working himself into the lineup, into the rotation, I guess. Brian Kelly says he's a little hesitant sometimes, so he just needs more confidence, which confidence is the word you hear for every position. That's what's lacking for this entire team.
But when I hear him say that, he's saying they're not going to see the field unless it's a blowout game. Or there's
an
injury.
Right.
That's when he says that. That's what I hear him say.
Yeah, but confidence is a huge deal on this team, or lack of.
Yeah, when he was using the same words to describe sometimes incoming freshmen, they lack confidence.
Yeah,
and on the other defensive end position with Trombetti.
Yeah,
and so that's just from him saying that. That's why I think that Dalen Hayes is going to be playing ahead of Trombetti. And I think Jay Hayes is going to be the starter.
Well, the downside of the defense line right now is Jay Hayes did suffer a high ankle sprain, and he's basically at Tuesday's press conference, he was already on the fourth day of wearing a boot, and Brian Kelly said it basically takes, I think, 7 or 8 days is what they're thinking. He'll be ready for Texas, he said. But you just hate to see that just because they can't practice. They need all the practice they can get, especially being a new starter. He needs all the practice he can get.
Yeah,
but I'm not too worried, just as long as it's not a nagging injury. So, but that's about it. Other than that, nothing major's happened on the defensive line.
Anything
which I guess we should say is good news right now, if nothing major is happening at any of these positions.
Anything on special teams? Justin Yoon had been struggling in practice. We had discussed it, but until he struggles in game time, I don't think the two of us are really concerned about it.
He was missing a lot, though. I don't know what is happening. Brian Kelly said it's just mechanic. He's just got to, you know, tighten up a little bit. But I don't think this is as much of a given as what we had thought it would be.
He was great last year. I read the numbers off when we were doing our kind of kickoff with Yoon. He had one of the best seasons out of the past 6 or 7 years.
That's why I don't understand
what
he's doing different, but he's missing like nine. I think he missed like nine in the open practice the other day. So I'm not sure what's going on. Well, but hopefully he'll get it figured out.
He went through a stretch where he did have some problems last year, but they got it figured out pretty quickly. So I'm assuming that they're working on it and it'll get figured out. Tyler Newsom has been looking awesome.
So,
and I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Now the team is on break. They have off. I think they still have off tomorrow on Tuesday, but then they'll start prepping for Texas, which is hard to believe that it's already that time.
I know. Well, when I was looking at players suspended, then I was doing the math, and yeah, it's 2 weeks until kickoff.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Just some other news. I forgot to mention when we talked about the quarterbacks, but Kirk Herbstreit said that Brian Kelly is making a mistake playing two quarterbacks. And he's an Ohio State alum, so.
He's speaking from past experience.
Yeah. Other news, Jalen Guyton obviously isn't on the team. He has decided he'll be playing at Trinity Valley, which is in Texas. So he will be playing this year. And then I'm guessing he'll transfer. This is his last chance.
Okay.
He'll be transferring, most likely be playing at a Division One. The following year.
And last chance you did get renewed for another season.
Yeah.
I saw.
The recruits, I don't know if you're following the games this weekend. Marquise Stepp, the running back, 2018 running back. Matt went to see him. We were going to go watch the game, but yeah, I had some family. I decided I better go. It was been 3 years since my sister-in-law was killed in an accident, so that kind of took priority over football. Some of that stuff takes priority. But he did not play much. He actually hurt his hamstring on the first play. First play of the game, he scored a 45-yard touchdown, but he also hurt his hamstring. So he's out 3 to 6 weeks.
Ooh, man. You said he was a running back?
Yeah, 2018 running back from Indianapolis. But some of the other guys had good games. And then as far as the polls, follow that, it's preseason. It's just people guessing at everything. Notre Dame is number 10 in the preseason AP poll, which is actually the highest since 2006, I think, when they were number 2. But the interesting thing is, as far as the guys that voted, somebody had them at number 2, and some of them had them at 16. That's the spread. 2 to 16.
I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I do wonder if these voters ever try to compensate for it. They think that a guy might think, you know what, Notre Dame is probably one of the top six teams in the country, but everybody else is probably going to put them at like 12 or 13. I better put them at 2.
Just to get them up higher.
No, I doubt it happens.
But, hey, who knows?
But that is quite a range, especially at number. I can see 17 more realistically than 2.
Yeah, I agree with you because there are a lot of new starters on this team.
I think our offense is going to be fine and great, but our defense, no matter who would return, I'm optimistic, but until I see it, I won't believe it, that our defense can hold teams down and stop teams.
Yeah, I agree. So,
all right, well, hey, high school football started. The NFL preseason is a couple weeks in, and so for your fantasy fans out there, we've got a great deal for you. If you click on our banner link over on irishsportstalk.net, it's a FanDuel banner. It says sign up now. Click on that. It'll take you over to Pro Football Focus. They've got great analytics, great tools in there for fantasy football players. And you can get Fantasy Gold, which is a $40 value for free if you sign up with a FanDuel account. So just click on the link towards the bottom of that gold section where it says free with FanDuel deposit. That'll take you over to FanDuel, and then you can you need to deposit $10 into your FanDuel account. So you've got $10 to play with, and then you'll get a free Fantasy Gold subscription. And the Fantasy Gold from Pro Football Focus is definitely worth it. I did sign up for it, and I've been using it, and it's pretty incredible. You can actually import your team from ESPN or Yahoo, whatever you're using, into Pro Football Focus's system, and then it just gives you a lot of information and rankings on those guys, on those players. So definitely check it out, and I think you'll be impressed. All right, Randall, anything else before we close this down?
Yeah, hopefully we won't have any breaking news. At this point, I'm not ready for any breaking news. Let's just have a normal week.
Things were just going too well.
I agree. You made it through camp, almost no injuries, and it was almost like something had to happen because it was just things were too good.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, give us a review over on iTunes and tell your friends about it. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.